This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
That would be me, so I'd better say these words. Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, and brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 7:06 on this Friday morning, December 20th, 12/20, 2024, and it is nice to have you here up north on this lovely Friday morning. Coming up this hour, we will be talking to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and getting a big what when we ask about the latest example of how Donald Trump is skipping out on accountability based on a ruling in a case down in Georgia. We'll try to figure out an explanation for what happened there, coming up with Jim Santel in just a bit. We'll talk to Mark Jacob about coverage of the Trump transition and coverage of what appears to be a likely government shutdown tonight. Republicans in the House are still fighting amongst themselves, which is a fancy way of saying they know how they could solve this, but Donald Trump and Elon Musk are telling them to do something different, and that's going to lead to a shutdown and keep members of Congress over the weekend unless they pull a rabbit out of the hat sometime between now and midnight tonight. So we'll talk to Mark Jacob about that. Dan Schumacher's got the week off, but we'll see. Talk to him again soon about sports, but we will talk about the Packers Monday night football game coming up. And talk about a historic way that points were scored in a football game last night. So that will be coming up along the way. If you'd like to join us, our number is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, which reminds me, you know, you could also use the Civic Media app to text us. Why don't you text us a keyword? Because this is it. We're wrapping up the grown-up gift list text-to-win contest from the Civic Media app, or you can use the text button to send this keyword by the end of the hour for your chance to win $100 this hour and be in the running for 8 grand prizes from the grown-up gift list. Get the details at civicmedia.us. Your next chance to win will be at 11 a.m., but this hour's keyword is joy, J-O-Y. Joy is this hour's keyword. Text it, be in the running to win $100 in cash from the Civic Media grown-up gift list. Let's see if we've got something here from Rob. I'm sure we do. There we go on Facebook. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's fair and 21 degrees, wind chill 11, a brisk north wind at 10 miles an hour, 3 inches of snow. I was snow plowing yesterday, making 2 rounds of my plow jobs. I was out at 2 a.m., but now I stop for breakfast and fuel and have 3 more jobs out of 12. Snow Queen Brittany gave me a Christmas present to do my plowing jobs and make money. Yes, indeed, she did. And so good luck, Rob. Be safe. Make that money. But let's not kid ourselves, meteorologist Brittany Merlot. That storm was lame compared to what it could have been, which, again, some people are very happy about that. Other people, very not happy. But this one was an underperformer, shall we say.
Oh, it definitely was, especially for us up here up north. My goodness, that system was trending to hit us. I mean, even the National Weather Service put that out for us to be in the warning. And then what did it do? Stubborn. It went south. Like it had all last year, too. A lot of those systems slid south of us. So into La Crosse, Monroe, Buffalo counties, they picked up over a half a foot of snowfall. Even into Tomah, Sparta, areas like that. And then on the other side of the state, the lake effect snow is still going on, and it hit areas towards Horicon, Cedar Grove, Fredonia, really, really hard. Those are Sheboygan, Dodge, Zaki counties. Near a foot of snowfall for them. So
I interrupt just long enough to say I'm glad that somebody on this radio show mentioned Fredonia, because we don't get to talk about it much. I think of what Marx Brothers movie that was. And wasn't Fredonia like the fictional country that Groucho Marx was the ruler of? I don't know if it was duck soup or what. But anyway, Fredonia, we're thinking of you. Shout out to you. Brittany, please continue.
All right. So that lake effect snow is still ongoing from Lake Superior and Lake Michigan, but it's hitting harder off of Lake Michigan into these really populated towns. So a winter storm warning is still ongoing until about 9 a.m. for Manitowoc, Kewaunee, Door County areas. It could pick up another 2 inches of snowfall. And then a winter weather advisory extends all the way down that shoreline and towards Milwaukee and the state line of Illinois. So for the rest of us, what's happening? Well, we're starting to see clear skies, cooling temperatures, winds are still feisty, and temperatures are in the teens right now, and it's really feeling more like the single digits. So it's crisp, it's cold, it's clearing, and that means we're going to see some sunshine today. So yes, every single part of the state will see the sunshine. Obviously, the further east you live, it might take a little bit longer. Highs today will be crisp and cool into those teens to low 20s. But 30 degrees for a high in towards Milwaukee. We do crash cold, though, overnight to the single digits. Thankfully, the winds will have calmed down. But teens and low 20s is our high temperatures for tomorrow. Into Sunday, we're looking at upper 20s to low 30s with some scattered flurries possible, especially into the Northwoods. And then another system lifts in on Monday, where we are looking at snow chances north of pretty much Highway 29. And then a wintry mix from La Crosse to Sheboygan and rain, mainly southern parts of the state. And as we look even further ahead, Christmas Day, it doesn't look good. A wintry mix pushes in potentially an ice storm into the northern parts of the state by Christmas night. Yes. So we're going to keep tracking that for you. But just a heads up for those who are hitting the road.
I thought we were going to see this warm up. Is that coming up afterwards?
Oh, yes, it is. And then we're going to hit the 40s right after that.
Ooh, okay. Well, we'll come back to that. Mr. Bach has a question or a point.
Two things. I would just love to point out the fact that Pat interrupted the weather to make a duck soup reference.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And also, before we got in the air, Pat and I were talking about all the important people that are in a winter storm. You got all these individuals who are doing the hard work. You got Robin Tigerton plowing. You got you doing the meteorology to make sure you're up to speed. But I think the one group we don't talk about, Pat,
who's that?
Are the linemen who do the really hard work.
Especially if there's wet, heavy snow on the lines. It is. It's hard work, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think we should really talk about them.
I don't think they get their due.
They don't.
And no. So thankfully we've got somebody out there
thank you.
Willing to say,
I am the lineman for the county.
Okay, and Brittany didn't join us that time either, but, you know, we'll keep trying.
I'm learning the lyrics now. Now I can next time.
The amount of times we've done, Brittany, the amount of times we've done this bit in this year, you'd think you'd have it memorized.
That's what I was telling him last hour. I was getting all the highlights for our end of the year shows next week, and it's almost frightening how many times we've serenaded you with Wichita Linemen. But
that's fantastic. It's one of the best songs ever.
That's right. Rob chimes in again. Getting dry air in a snowstorm is a bummer, but it's not Brittany's fault.
Okay,
well, of course, no, we would never blame her.
We didn't blame her, Rob.
Nope, we were just saying it underperformed, and it's not her fault. Alicia, though, says, Brittany can come hang out in the Fox Valley. I'll bet she could build a snowman.
Oh, so, I'd love to. Maybe that's what I'll do
today.
It doesn't
have to be a snowman.
That's true. And look, finally, a couple days before the break, I finally found a Christmas-themed coffee mug down in the basement.
Here's
how old it is. Look, it's from Pier 1 Imports. Yours says, woke up sexy as hell again. That's not a Christmas theme. And Brittany says, sweater weather.
Yeah.
Sweater weather.
And you're wearing the sweater that's like, you're like, I'm the gift this year. You're welcome, the world.
That's
all
right.
All that snow. Yep.
Yep. So are you with us next week?
Yes, I'll be here.
Okay. All right. We'll see you Monday, Tuesday as we head into the holidays. Thanks, Brittany. Have a great weekend.
Sounds good. You too.
All right. Again, this hour's keyword is joy, J-O-Y, if you want to text that in as part of the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Coming up across Civic Media today, Todd Alba at 1:30 has a guest that brings you E-Bomb's World Biweekly Weird News Roundup. So get set for your weird news fix at 1:30. Maggie Dawn at 2 o'clock has Terry Barr on to talk about what is good and local and overlooked in Wisconsin. And Mr. Bach will be part of Matt and Air on Air. And at 11 o'clock, you guys are slated to be recombobulating.
Oh, yes. We got Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area comes in every Friday. He's now, if he's in office, which he usually is now, he sticks around for three segments. We talk about like the top stories of what's going on, and then we have a little bit of fun. It's great. But we also have at 10:30, Mr. James Vanderloo, who is going to be talking about tariffs in America. He came on before the election to talk about what would be happening, and now that Trump has been reelected, we're going to get an idea from him on what he and his company, which that name is escaping me right now, it's right there in the back of my brain, what they're going to be doing to handle all of these businesses and the tariffs and the possibility of companies trying to move.
All right, so stay tuned for that for Matt and Air on Air a little later on today. If you missed it last hour, a couple of the topics that we covered include that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss wants to copy his hero Elon Musk and create a new layer of bureaucracy to look for waste in the bureaucracy. And we list several ways that that could be done by Speaker Voss if he were to look in the mirror. And we talk about the fiscal recklessness that he has wrought upon the state during the Republican majority time in the legislature. We also had some of the latest on the potential for a government shutdown, and we'll watch that throughout the day, of course, on shows across the Civic Media Radio Network. But I have to say that Congressman Derek Van Orden did something that Republicans in the legislature did last time around that I'm going to call out every single time. Derek Van Orden put up on Twitter, two stacks of paper. One stack is very tall, maybe 7, 8, 9 inches tall, and the others maybe an inch or two. And one he calls America, and one he calls the swamp. Or no, one he calls the swamp, the big one, and the little one is America. What he's trying to say is that there was this bloated budget bill, and that Republicans streamlined it into just a few pages. And I will remind people endlessly that what that really illustrates is the difference between people who want to serve in government and do the work and those who are lazy and want to take the simple way out. In what was going to be a budget deal that kept the government open to appease Republicans, funding was stripped out for all manner of things, including multiple different cancer research centers and hospitals. And other matters that were in bipartisan bills that were set to pass, they were folded into the budget bill so that they would pass for efficiency's sake. But all of that was stripped out, and all of those good things will have to wait. Because again, some folks are interested in doing the work, and some people are just lazy legislators. When we come back, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel will join us, and we'll talk about how Trump once again, like the Roadrunner, managed to escape another predicament in his many legal battles for trying to overturn an American election. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Back in a bit.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, a quick note again, the keyword this hour for the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest is joy, and you can text that keyword to pretty much any station on the Civic Media app, but otherwise when you're using the app to text us, be careful in your choice of station, because somebody texted us here at Up North News Radio, but they clearly meant to text in one of the other shows, but still, even though it wasn't meant for us, thank you for letting us know that Horicon got 9 inches of snow, 9.1. to be exact. But we always appreciate the text messages of any type, keywords or otherwise. All right, let's bring in former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel now, who has a show on the weekends, Saturday morning, live, 9 a.m., Amicus, a law review. Mr. Santel, how are you?
I am doing well. It's as it is there in other parts of the state of Wisconsin, winter wonderland here in southeastern Wisconsin.
There you go. A winter wonderland. We are going to start with, again, Donald Trump legal woes, which, again, somehow, I mean, do you remember the Reagan presidency and how we ended up nicknaming him the Teflon president because of all the scandals during his administration? Nothing seemed to stick to him.
Right. Iran-Contra, people went to jail for that, and nothing happened to him, right?
I mean, if I don't know what's a grade above Teflon, but it sure seems that Donald Trump is wrapped in it, in escaping accountability. In Georgia, by way of background, this is the one where Donald Trump called the Secretary of State, and it's recorded, saying, I need you to find me 11,000 blah, blah, blah votes. Find me votes. In other words, rig the results. Anybody else would have done that. They'd have been in prison orange in almost no time. And yet Donald Trump just won a major victory in that case on something that he had nothing to do with. But tell us what happened and we'll try to explain it.
So the case pending until recently before Judge Scott McAfee's, the trial court judge. And he was the one, as you and your listeners will recall very well, had this hearing about whether Adfani Willis, who's the DA, she's the prosecutor, the state prosecutor, whether she should be taken off the case. Why? Allegedly, because she did in fact have a romantic relationship with another member of her prosecution team. And the allegation by the defendants were that because of that, she could no longer be on the case. It was a financial incentive for her to prosecute this and for that reason, take her off. Scott McAfee wisely did this. He said, first of all, there's no conflict of interest here under Georgia law, nothing to look at here in terms of a conflict. But he said, there's a sufficient appearance of impropriety. And this is where it becomes important for yesterday's news, for the public to digest all this. And he said, in order for that to be addressed, what needs to have happen is inside the prosecution team, the individual with whom you have this relationship, that person has to go. You may recall, well, he resigned within hours of Scott McAfee saying that. And then the defendants, including Donald Trump, appealed that decision for the Court of Appeals. And that's where we get the opinion yesterday. Interestingly, finding, again, no conflict of interest. They can't under Georgia law. This is just not supported. But they said that this appearance of impropriety, that the public no longer has trust in the prosecution, is sufficiently great that the sanction that Judge McAfee imposed is not strong enough. And therefore, she needs to be off the case. Her office needs to be off the case. And again, a major victory for Donald Trump, a major blow to the future prosecution of this case. And again, one of those situations where you say, all right, the conduct itself internal to the office, inappropriate, and all of us in government, in corporate America, other places would say should not happen. This is a remedy that does not impact the prosecution itself from the start. And this notion that somehow Donald Trump has now twisted this into a point where you've got the prosecutor off the case is, frankly, to my mind, lawless, with due respect to the Court of Appeals. And the public should look at this and not only scratch your head, but once again, be shaking your head in abject disbelief.
Yeah, I mean, it's a three-judge panel, the Court of Appeals. All three were Republican appointees, and they ruled 2-1 on this case. And look, let me make clear first, I'm not a lawyer. But second, I think I can still make this observation. It would be one thing if Fani Willis or anybody else in this position, if there were something financial involved where you could see that somebody was going to benefit, you know, they bought stock in Trump's company or they sold it or, you know, something like that.
That's the conflict of interest that
that's
doesn't
the conflict,
exist.
The clear conflict. But a romantic relationship is stretching credulity, as they say.
Right. And beyond that, again, it's 2-1, as you just said, you do have an appeals court judge who says, this is Benjamin Land. He says, I'm pretty troubled by the fact the majority has taken what has long been a discretionary decision of the trial court. That is, he's talking about Scott McAfee making this determination by assessing credibility of the people in front of him, presiding over his own case, and converting it to something else entirely. And that he's got that just right. In addition to the merits of this, leave this at the trial court level. That's the person, that's the court at which these decisions should be made. You've got the upfront audience for all this. And the Court of Appeals by 2-1 says, nope. Fani Willis says she will appeal this. In the meantime, however, once again, the case not just on hold, but may be heading ultimately to oblivion. If it stands, has to be assigned now to a different prosecutor, and that will take a long, long time.
He asked the Secretary of State to find him 11,000 votes, and we are still at this and will be for years because of these kind of legal machinations or whatever the case may be. Jim, during your time as U.S. Attorney, did you serve during any of the government shutdowns when Congress couldn't come up with funding?
Absolutely. It was the bane of my existence on a routine basis. I was having staff meetings telling people what's going to happen tomorrow night at Thursday. I sat down with members of our staff internally and talked with them about going home. I was sending people home with the expectation they would not get paid, that our operation would in many ways be stymied. But what's going to happen? I can't count the number of times on just two hands, probably, that this happened. Eventually, yes, indeed, government goes back into shape and people get paid. But sent people home, absolutely, it is destructive not only to the operation of government, including U.S. attorneys' offices, responsible for civil litigation, criminal prosecution, but also just the basic psyche, if you will, of good civil servants who are there to the work of the people, sending them home, telling them you've got no job now, at least for a while. And by the way, we're not going to pay you for being home. Terrible, terrible.
And by the way, this is not some kind of alien thing. One of the longest shutdowns ever was under Donald Trump. And again, it started over the holidays. So I sense we just might have something to talk about when we gather again. It won't be for a couple of weeks, but it might be a thing. Jim Santel, thank you as always. Happy holidays. We'll see you again soon.
Pat, happy holidays to you and your listeners. We'll talk soon. Take care.
All right. Mark Jacobs coming up right after this break. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Hey, while you are sitting there with your chestnuts by the open fire, consider catching up on some of the newsletters you subscribed to over the past year and maybe weeding out the ones you're not reading and trying some new ones. And have we got suggestions for you? Head over to couriernewsroom.com. You can read news and analysis from all 11 state outlets, our national team of correspondents. There's podcasts, there's merchandise, and there's great newsletters that include the one that Mark Jacobs puts together, Stop the Presses, which you can also get at stopthepresses.news. And Mark Jacobs joins us on this Friday morning at 7:35. Oh, by the way, before I forget, the grown-up gift list text to win contest. If you haven't texted it in yet, you've got till the end of the hour to text the word joy, J-O-Y. Use that Civic Media app. Mark Jacob, how you doing?
I'm doing for good. How are you?
I'm okay. I was better until I think it was day before yesterday, or maybe it was yesterday, when I saw this headline in the New York Times. Where does a remarkable U.S. economy go from here? And they mention all the ways that the U.S. economy is ahead of its global peers. And then they say, they close by saying that all these good things in the economy, quote, amount to a rough list of Donald Trump's campaign promises.
Well, he will take credit for it.
He will take credit for it. But Joe Biden did that. That was, people don't like to hear Bidenomics, but guess what, kids? Bidenomics gave us the best economy on the planet right now. And President Biden's role in this is not mentioned until so far down in the story that I got carpal tunnel from scrolling to try to get there.
Well, you know, I mean, if the New York Times is supposed to be news you can use, they're a little late delivering this news. I mean, before the election might have been, preferable. You know, Pat, they were saying for a very long time that we were headed for a recession. That recession never came.
Nope.
I mean, they were just relentlessly negative about the economy in the first, two thirds of the the Biden administration. I mean, just in a shocking way, just how even the good news. I used to collect headlines in which they would write about, you know, well, the economy is looking okay, but doubts remain. As if there's ever been a time in history where there hasn't been doubts about the economy.
Doubts or naysayers, and this really was the year of the naysayer. Mm-hmm. That if you are negative enough about something, you know, you're going to get press on it, even if the facts aren't on your side. Now, look, this is going to sound to a lot of people like, you know, post-game carping, but this really is about setting the record straight and making sure that the record is set straight. It frankly is a big chunk of what I'm seeing in your newsletter over at stopthepresses.news about, you know, basically making sure that we understand that we can still work together to defend democracy. There are still things that need to be said and done and things that you won't do. And that's actually your headline. Here's what we won't do when Trump takes over. Take us through a little bit of that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously people are bummed out. If they, you know, if they like democracy, they're bummed out because it could be a horrible, you know, time after January 20th. I mean, you know, Trump's promising a horrible time. But I just wanted to try to achieve both realism and optimism, which is hard to balance those two things. Yes. And include those in his times. But I did want to say, here's what we're not going to do and how this to bend the knee in effect. But, you know, and let me read a little bit of it. We won't shut up. We won't retreat from the news. We won't lose our ability to be outraged. We won't be duped by a fake crisis that serves as a pretext to send the military against American citizens and turn our country into a police state. And we won't sit on our couch and watch protests on TV when we should be out protesting in front of the TV cameras. I've got a long list that goes on and on about this, but my basic point is that we can't just give up. We can't be this defeatist people. That's not American. Americans, you know, fight for what they believe in, and we need to be that way. And it's funny, my wife was telling me that she was saying that one of the things she was counting on was Republican incompetence. Mm-hmm. And I am too, because I mean they certainly have managed to achieve a lot of power, and you know we're going to see that a lot of abuse of power, but you know what we're seeing these days in Washington is Republicans fumbling around and falling all over themselves, can hope that it continues. But we've got to help that. We've got to stand up for what we actually believe in.
Yeah, couple more from the column that stood out at me. We won't tolerate abuse of women simply because the person who won the last election is a sexual predator. We won't get exhausted. Instead, we'll pace ourselves, find ways to relax and enjoy life, and be ready to go at crucial moments. And then this one. We won't accept the notion that all politicians lie. More politicians lie when the news media and public accept lying and thus make it advantageous to lie. And that gets me to another post of yours about, again, don't normalize lying. Don't normalize bad behavior. And you rightly call out Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina, who is talking about the proposed spending bill and that this is not what the American people voted for. And yet you remind folks, when I don't think anybody else did, that in January of 2021, Ralph Norman sent a text calling on Trump to declare martial law to keep Biden from taking office. And that truly is an example of not what the American people voted for. And yet you might have been the only person that brought that up.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, there's this kind of amnesia about the traitors. And Ralph Norman, you know, he's in Congress and I've been tracking it. I mean, this has kind of been this lonely mission of mine is I've been tracking the New York Times, how many times they mentioned Ralph Norman's name without mentioning the fact that he was pushing for a military-assisted coup to stop Biden from taking office. And it's been over the last 50-plus times the New York Times has mentioned his name, they have not included that fact over the last 23 months. They've normalized him into just a normal conservative who wants a fiscal
restraint. It's all about deficit spending.
Right. I mean, yeah. but and just so everyone understands the facts, this is after January 6th. This is like about 3 days before the inauguration of Biden. Ralph Norman, congressman from South Carolina, sends a text to Mark Meadows, the chief of staff of Trump, and says, hey, we need to declare martial law. Now, he spelled martial law wrong. He spelled it martial as M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L.
Right.
And the shocking thing is, when people have asked him about that, he says that's the only thing he regrets, is that he spelled it wrong. He was asking Trump after January 6th, 2 weeks after January 6th, almost, he was asking him to declare martial law so that Biden wouldn't take office. In effect, a military coup. I mean, it's shocking. And this guy is normalized by almost everyone. Yep. But by the media, there's this, that they've forgotten everything that we should remain outraged about.
Here's another thing that appears to have been normalized, and you rightly pass along the words from Chris Murphy, who talks about the potential criminal referral of Liz Cheney. And again, Senator Murphy from Connecticut is out there going, why are we just talking about the X's and O's of how would Liz Cheney be prosecuted, rather than noting that everything about her that could be criminally prosecuted is completely made up.
Right, right. And you know, it's okay for the news media to say that, to say this is unprecedented, there's no basis for it, that this is a member of Congress conducting a congressional investigation that was authorized by the people in Congress who were doing it, this isn't going to go anywhere, I don't think, but what it is an attempt to intimidate everyone. I mean, it's just a shot across the bow saying, shut up, don't say anything. And, if Kash Patel becomes FBI director, you know, they may go out and arrest her. Who knows what? I would worry about her. But again, your main point, Pat, is that the news media is acting like, well, this is the way government works now. No, it's not. I mean, if it is the way government works, that's a fascist government.
Right. Here's my prediction is that there will be some kind of one symbolic high profile arrest. Mm-hmm. And let's use Liz Cheney as an example, though I'm not saying it would necessarily be her. But there will be one where this person will look as surprised as anybody else that, you know, she or he is in handcuffs and, you know, being frog marched into a courthouse, and that either through public uproar or more likely the legal case that is so lame, you know, it will not go forward. But that's not the point. The right. point for Trump and Kash Patel and the others is to intimidate others, to say, well, Liz Cheney got off the hook, but it could happen to you. And so normalizing even one symbolic arrest for the cameras is playing right into their hands.
Right. I mean, I don't think that that Trump thinks he's going to win that lawsuit against the Des Moines Register and Seltzer, the pollster. I mean, that's a stupid lawsuit, and that it'll be thrown out probably in first hearing.
But ABC, they caved. They caved in settling that defamation suit earlier this week. And I mean, every reputable journalist in the country just had to go, get off my side. You're not helping.
Exactly. And I mean, I hate to be right all the time, but I certainly was right about this. I mean, I wrote a column, Stop the Press's newsletter column, 1 month ago, that I didn't count on the mainstream high level legacy news media to stand up for anything, that the profit motive was so great that they would cave whenever they thought it was in their financial interests, and that we really needed to more rely on independent media, not people like the networks.
It is more important than ever. What any thoughts on how this potential government shutdown is being covered, and any guess on what's going to happen?
Well, I mean, they'll fumble around a bunch. What I wonder is whether, you know, whether the Trump Musk thing will, whether that relationship will get rocky, because, you know, Trump doesn't like to have rivals, and Musk is, you know, megalomaniac. So we'll have to see how that goes. The real thing that bothers me about this is this Republican fumbling around. This is totally Republican fumbling around. And if the media is not saying Republican when they're talking about the chaos, they're missing a bet, is that it's happening. This happened is going to happen 2 years before an election. So unfortunately, everyone will forget about it by then. That's the real problem, I think, that both in news coverage and in the mindset of American voters, is they forget things too early. I haven't forgotten January 6th. I'm still pissed off about it, Pat.
Yeah, but should be. But instead, we're seeing, you know, all this Elon Musk press, which doesn't have nearly enough of the element of who elected this guy? And instead, you know, you and Mr. Beschloss rightly point out that were you talking with Chris Murphy or with Stephen about this is the definition of an oligarchy.
Right. Yeah. Stephen and I did a on target video on that. And yeah. And people need to understand what an oligarchy is. You know, I mean, there's these terms that people may have not been familiar with until the recent years, but you know, it's really ruled by the elite. It's super rich people in league with corrupt politicians running everything and thwarting the will of the voter. And that's what seems to be happening is that, you know, Musk helped get Trump elected, and he's expecting Trump to help make him even richer. Although, you know, Pat, how rich can you get? How rich would does anybody want to get? I mean, what's the point of that? I mean, I've tried to earn money so that I could, you know, have a nice condo, and so that I could, you know, give nice presents to my kids for birthdays. I mean, it's like, how do you really need to be a trillionaire? Who needs that?
That apparently is one of Elon Musk's goals, is to be the first ever trillionaire, because, again, he understands that many people accept that power is no longer weighed in the number of votes you get, but the number of dollars you have. So his competition isn't other politicians. It's Jeff Bezos and, you know, Bill Gates and the other rich dudes out there. And the one who has the most out of all of them is going to be the most powerful man on earth, because, again, it's all about power. Personally, I'd rather have the nice condo.
Yeah, really. And well, I'm about to post on Blue Sky, which I've switched to. I've given up on Twitter.
Good.
And this headline from 2 years ago in the New York Times, where it says, "Critics say Musk has revealed himself as a conservative. It's not so simple." And it's this article in which the New York Times is explaining how Elon Musk is really a moderate.
Oh, of course.
Of course he is. Of course he is. Thanks, New York Times. You were just as right about that as you were about the economy.
Just so easily fooled. Get the newsletter. StopThePresses.news is the address. And Mark will be back with us on Friday, January 3rd, for a new Congress. Mark, thank you so much. Happy holidays to you.
You too.
All right. We'll be back with more to wrap up the week here on Up North News Radio from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, riding down Santa Claus Lane.
Was it fun looking for all the bumper music for the holidays today instead of the usual yacht rock?
I mean, I enjoy the Christmas music, don't get me wrong, but yep. It was very, very yachtless, rockless. Very,
yep, very, very much so. This is normally the point where we would visit with Dan Schumacher, talk a little sports here, but Dan's on a well-deserved holiday break, so we'll see him again on January 3rd. But we're going to start with a little sports here simply because something happened in the NFL last night that hasn't happened in 48 years. The way that points were scored, which, you know, you go, well, safety? Nope, safety's happened occasionally and other things happen. The free kick, and I hear all kinds of non-football fans going, what? The free kick. Wait, you don't know about the free kick?
Bro, do you even free kick, man?
Here's the thing. We talk about how we really shouldn't even call it football anymore because we're taking so much of the foot out of it. I mean, kickoffs are like everybody stands still like statues now, and there's all these fair catches and everything else. That there's very little that involves kicking the ball for strategy. I mean, even the onside kick, you have to announce ahead of time that you're doing an onside kick. So the fact that some coach, in this case with the I almost call them the San Diego Chargers, they start to me, the Los Angeles Chargers, had the presence of mind to invoke a rule. And here was the rule. If you fair catch a kick, like a punt, if you fair catch with no time left on the clock, as was the case right before halftime of last night's game, you can have a free kick worth 3 points if you kick it from the place where you made the fair catch. And in this case, the Chargers kick receiver, he caught a punt at about just inside the 50-yard line. And there was no time left on the clock, so their kicker attempted a free kick from that point, which meant it was a 57-yard field goal attempt. And he made it. And so it's the first points scored on a free kick since 1976. And I'm hearing it in my voice. I'm telling you that I hear y'all going, guy's getting a little too excited about this. But it's new. It's novel. It's something that just doesn't happen very much.
It's interesting. So. It's an interesting conversation starter. Hey, people, this is Pat's show. Let him talk about what he wants to talk about.
And more importantly, it was the Chargers versus the Denver Broncos, and I have no idea how the game ended because I don't care. The final score has no bearing on me. But you know, something kind of historic happened, which I thought was pretty cool. So that's why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah.
The Packers, meanwhile, they play Monday night. They will be at Lambeau Field. They will host the New Orleans Saints. 7:15. It's a game that you can catch on some Civic Media radio stations, starting with a pregame at 5 o'clock on WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls. Not on the Civic Media app. There's a lot of Badger sports and high school sports on the Civic Media app, just not the NFL game. So I just want to make sure you understand that ahead of time. We've got the Badger men's basketball team playing Sunday against Detroit Mercy. That's going to wrap up non-conference play for them. It's all Big Ten after this. And again, the game is on several Civic Media stations and the app. Head to civicmedia.us for more. The Badger women's basketball team is actually playing this morning. They've got a home game against Albany at 11 a.m. The Badger hockey teams, men and women, are on a holiday break. The Badger men's basketball team is in Cincinnati to face Xavier tomorrow morning at 11. I believe Fox will have the TV coverage of the Marquette-Xavier game. And the Marquette women's basketball team plays tomorrow. They will host Stonehill to close out non-conference play. And it's at this point where Chad Holmes finally gets to take a bit of a breather, I think, for the Christmas break. And then I don't believe he sleeps from New Year's Day till, you know, the end of state tournaments for all the high school sports out there.
I mean, honestly, between Jimmy Koska and Chad Holmes, I don't know when those two do anything other than sportsing all the sports that can sport.
They are sportsing. Even yesterday, I saw in the Civic Media chat amongst everybody that Jimmy put something in there. And they go, isn't this your off day? And he's like, I got all the sports to do. There is no day off from sports. God bless him for it. Somebody texts in from WFHR. Did I miss the word? Yeah, you did. Okay, I'll tell you.
Jeez. I
know. Hey, you got to get here early, kids. No, joy. You have another 2 minutes, roughly, to text the word joy through the Civic Media app and be part of the grown-up gift list text to win contest. Your next chance in the 11 a.m. hour with Greg Bach.
Oh, my gosh.
And Jane Mattenair.
Oh, my gosh.
Mattenair on air. Are you guys still tracking between you and you two and Todd Alba contest entries?
We're going back and forth. You know, we had ourselves a good couple days, but I'm, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Todd comes out the winner again because I think he was winning all last week. So we had a firm showing, and we just want to let them know that he's not the only one on the block, baby.
You know,
come for the ground.
He and I were talking the other day about day parts and morning drive versus afternoon drive versus middays, and he was kind of like trying to talk down his time slot, trying to be humble about it. I'm like, look at your contest entries. Yeah. You are in a wonderful spot. I'm in a wonderful spot. And what do I always say? I'm getting up this early to pee anyway. I may as well get paid for it. We're where we're supposed to be.
He gets two full hours in Madison. We don't.
There you go. So rock on. You get those contest entries in. You do the same with Ms. Mattenair this morning. And hey, really push it. I want to see a photo finish at the end of all this.
Will do, sir. On it.
Okay.
Boom.
All right. Greg is back in 2 hours for Mattenair on Air. And then we are back on Monday morning and Tuesday morning, Christmas Eve, live shows Monday and Tuesday. Then it's all Christmas music on Wednesday. And next Thursday and Friday are pre-recorded best of shows. A lot of great highlights. I've been putting them together. I think you're really going to enjoy them. And then Greg Bach and Kristen Lyerly guest host on December 30th and 31st, a best of show New Year's Day, and then back live on Thursday, January 2nd.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.